Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Divinicos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled Healing Words for Our National Identity Crisis. I'm going to be reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 17, beginning at verse 1, which reads as follows. Jehoshaphat, his son, that is the son of Asa, the preceding king, succeeded him as king and strengthened himself against Israel. He stationed troops in all the fortified cities of Judah and put garrisons in Judah and in the towns of Ephraim that his father Asa had captured. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, but sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The Lord established the kingdom under his control, and all Judah brought gifts to Jehoshaphat so that he had great wealth and honor. His heart was devoted to the ways of the Lord. Furthermore, he removed the high places and the Asherah poles from Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials Ben Kail in Hebrew, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah to teach in the towns of Judah. With them were certain Levites: Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemoremoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tob-Adonijah, and the priests Elishama and Jehoram. They taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law of the Lord. They went around to all the towns of Judah and taught the people. The fear of the Lord fell on all the kingdoms of the lands surrounding Judah, so that they did not make war with Jehoshaphat. Some Philistines brought Jehoshaphat gifts and silver as tribute. Notice that in verse 11. Some Philistines, which in Hebrew means foreigners. The name Philistines means foreigners. It is persons who are not indigenous to the land of Israel. And the Arabs brought him flocks, 7,700 rams and 7,700 goats. Jehoshaphat became more and more powerful. He built forts and store cities in Judah and had large supplies in the towns of Judah. He also kept experienced fighting men in Jerusalem. I wanted to share this chapter this morning with those of you who faithfully listen to this program because of what we, or that is, what our country is experiencing at this moment. We need healing words for our national identity crisis, not partisan words, and not words that belong to a particular agenda. What is lacking and what is most needed is a word from God. I would like to draw your attention to the success of King Jehoshaphat and how he was blessed of God in the early part of his reign. We are told in verse 3 that the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because in his early years he walked in the ways his father David had followed. He did not consult the Baals, that is, the masters. These were indigenous deities. But sought the God of his father and followed his commands rather than the practices of Israel. The northern kingdom had followed the ways of Jezebel. And in Hebrew, the name Jezebel means unhusbanded. She was a high priestess of the Baals. It was true of both Jezebel and Ahab, or Ahab, her husband, that Israel, that is the northern kingdom, was led into a state-sponsored religion. And as a result of that practice, Israel would be swept away by the Assyrians in 722 B.C. The northern kingdom would be gone. They had failed to listen to the entreaties or the entreaties of the Lord. They had failed to hear his call to come back to him. They had failed to listen to the healing words of the Lord. We today in our country are standing before the ontic abyss. And let me say that the blame game, which began in Genesis 3, in which after the historic space-time fall of the Adam, he blames both his wife and God for what he had done. The Adam, but he is not Adam. It was not a proper name. He was the Adam, man of the earth. The Adam blamed others for his actions. And in spite of his blame of others, he was held accountable by God for what he had done. See, Hebrew thinking binds acts and consequences to a remarkable degree. And there are even some Hebrew words in which the suffix speaks about or the consequence or consequences that will come about because of certain actions. If one does good, then one will receive good in Hebrew thinking. If one does evil, then one can only expect evil consequences. Hebrew thinking, that is the thinking of the Hebrew Old Testament, is highly concrete. So let me say at this point that for our own country today, blame and name-calling will not suffice. We are eager to point out the sins of others, as was the Adam, but we will not address our own. There is collective guilt that we must face today, based not on so-called race, because scientists have learned that there's no such thing as race. We have learned this. We have learned that throughout humanity there are only four blood groups. We know this. We know that race is mythos, and that we have not found race. But our collective guilt is self-estrangement from God. We must wake up to the fact that our country needs God. We must come together in collective prayer, because we must come to recognize that someone or some remote group is profiting from the violence in the street. We must come together in collective prayer for one another, because some group is leveraging the malaise in the streets and creating an evil matrix for the near future. We all know that violence is existential deconstruction of the person, of the family, of the nation. We must come to terms with the fact that we are indeed estranged from God, but we need not go into the darkness by way of blood and poignant rage. We need revival. Our country needs to be revived. I want you to notice very carefully what King Jehoshaphat's mandate was when he became the king of Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent his officials to teach in the towns of Judah. Now, in the Hebrew, to teach is what we call the PL infinitive, and it means intensive or intentional actions or intentional action. Notice the scripture does not say to preach. He did not send his leaders to preach. He sent them to carefully teach the people. The names of the officials whom he sent are very important. Ben-Kayel, whose name means man of might, or brave, or warrior. Obadiah, whose name means servant of Yahweh. Zechariah, and his name means Yahweh remembers. Nathaniah, his name means given to God. And Micaiah, whose name means who is like God. And so the king very wisely chose man whose hearts were as his. In verse 6, we read that his heart, that is, the heart of King Jehoshaphat, was devoted to the ways of the Lord. And his actions proved this to be true. Verse 6. Furthermore, after the semicolon, furthermore, comma, he removed the high places, places of worship, and the Asherah poles, that is, phallic symbols, from Judah. Judah had been given over to phallic worship, a very debased form of worship that I will not go through it into great detail here. Also, we read a certain Levite accompanied the officials, and along with the Levites, certain priests accompanied them too. And notice verse 9. They taught. Again, very, very important. And let me point out that the word teach here is a very interesting word. It is lamad. L-A-M-A-D. It is a fascinating word because lamad means to chastise. And so because the people of Yahweh has been involved in debased and degrading practices, they have to be brought back to the Lord. Jehoshaphat knew his people. His own metrics had taught him about what his people were like, and therefore he chose men who would be able to go out among them without fear and without their own agendas, but with the king's agenda and the king's message that his people should be brought back to the center. That is, he wanted to create a spiritual homeostasis in the lives of his people again, which was sorely lacking. So lamad also means to goad. This word teach also means to strike with a rod. I know. But the moral degradation of the people had taken a powerful toll upon their person. And it does not read that they were going to physically do anything to the people, but notice in verse 9 that they taught throughout Judah, taking with them the book of the law, or the Torah, the book of the law of the Lord. And they went around to all the towns of Judah and taught the people. Now, because these men had such courage and fortitude, their ministry of teaching, very precise term in the Hebrew, their ministry of teaching was blessed by God. Please note that in the writings of the New Testament, the people of God are never to be preached to. The Evangelion, that is the gospel, the good news, was preached to the unsaved ones. the good news was heralded to those who did not know the Christ. But when these individuals responded positively to the message of the Evangelion, then they were to be taught, they were to be nurtured, they were to be established, firmly established in Christ through the teaching of the pastor teacher. The word pastor in Greek means guardian. Shepherd means guardian. It means one who takes care of the sheep, one who watches for their well-being, one who leads as an under-shepherd of the great shepherd who is Christ Jesus. Shepherd means protector, or one who protects. In Deuteronomy 6:4, we have these famous words. Shema, hear, O Israel. Shema Yisrael, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, the Lord is one. The word one means compound unity. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. In the Greek, the word heart is cardia. On your heart. And notice, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You and I know the impact of media on our children. We know this. And look what God says in his ancient document of Deuteronomy. Look what he says. Impress. Talk. When you walk, tie them as symbols. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Verse 12. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Be careful. And so today, we need leadership that will follow King Jehoshaphat in the teaching of the Word of God to the people of God. And if you notice violence and what it does. Violence is insatiable. Violence cannot be satiated. It is devouring. Violence devours those toward whom it is directed, and violence also devours the one who seeks to devour others. Violence is the great lie. Violence solves nothing. It creates a vast existential void in the lives of those who are given thereunto. There is nothing to be gained by violence. There is nothing to be gained by violence. There is everything to be gained by prayer and seeking God. We must pray for one another in these days. We need to collectively agree that we will seek God's favor in this time, and that God will raise up teachers who will bring our country back to Him, to the teaching, the faithful teaching of His Word. I'm not talking about raising up persons who will come together over a very myopic moral imperative that they have fabricated, which lasts only for a time. I am talking about raising up those who have given themselves and their lives over to learning the Word of God. And what I mean by learning is absorbing the Word of God. I am talking about raising up persons who know both Greek, Hebrew, and who also understand the other Semitic languages and who understand Aramaic. I'm talking about raising up persons who have an imperative beyond my race or my group, but who see the great need of the people of God and who understand that we must now listen to the words of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, and pray for our country, lest we all be lost. We need not go into the darkness, into the scotia, that is, the consequences of darkness, by way of blood and poignant rage. We have an option given to us by God through Christ Jesus. God gave His Son for all men, because all men sin. But there is a salvation through Christ Jesus by which we can have peace with God, the irony of God, the peace that is characterized by the divine essence. We can have God's own peace. We can have the peace of God and peace with God. And we accept God's gift of His Son to the cross. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our peace. Christ Jesus is our peace. The world is at war. The world is in spiritual conflict. I pray for those young people in Mexico who were lost and devoured. I pray for what is happening. I pray for all the losses throughout our country and what is going on with our young men who have found no way. I pray that we will pray for our young ones and give them a reason to hope and to see that there is another way that they can have life. I pray that we will raise up our children beyond video games and cell phones and other manipulative media that distracts them from what really counts. I pray that God will speak to hearts and raise up those who want to teach and who want to lead and who want to be there for those in need. God, raise up leaders who will not stand on the sidelines and give critique, but who will get into the battle and speak your healing words to a nation that is in desperate need. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. God bless you.